Amos chapter number 8. Verse number 11 and 12. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. This is a warning, this is a trumpet blow that we should be aware of the coming years. I had been blowing the trumpet for 7 weeks. And the Lord, I believe the Lord asked me to do so, so that the word is confirmed. The word is sure. And God is warning it depends on believers who are hearing it. It's so serious that we have to understand why God is telling us this, because we have to understand that we need to store the word. We need to take the word seriously and become a storehouse of the word, because so that in the coming famine, when the world falls, when everyone falls, there will be a rise for those who are the storehouse of God's word, who have understood times and season and stored the oil, like the wise virgins who had the oil, who had stored the oil, and they were sleeping. And the bridegroom, the Bible says, can come at any time. It is also compared as the one who comes in as a thief in the night. He can come any time. He can come at an unexpected time. So we have to understand the time, and we need to store things, spiritual things that needs to be stored. Because when the time comes, then there will be no time for you to go and store or do anything to store it. Because the famine will hit us hard. But it will not hit those hearts, those who have the word, those who have stored the word, those who have labored in the word, meditated on the word. Hallelujah. Okay. Are people there here tonight? Can you remove your mute and say amen even as we go into the word? My God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wonderful. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. So, let's go to the word of God, the great image that exposes Satan's kingdom. I started off last Friday, and the great image is the great image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream. Now, I had been talking about the beast system almost from 2022, and every year God has been giving us. This year, I spoke about the beast system, about many things about the beast system. Those who have heard it might know, those who have not heard it, it's the complexity of the beast system, and about the throne system and the dragon system and all those things I have spoken this year. But even as the year ends, I was praying before the Friday service, and God told me to take this sermon. God told me to take this message, which is again related to the exposing of Satan's kingdom. Hallelujah. Now, many believers, before we go into the word, we have to understand, I have seen many believers being afraid of the future. What future? The future that the Bible talks about. What Matthew chapter number 24 talks about, Jesus talks about the end times, about the falling away, and then about the wars and the rumors of war and, you know, the Antichrist, and they are so, some believers don't even read Revelation because that they get afraid when they read about the mark of the beast, and whoever will not take the mark will not be able to survive, they will be persecuted. The Bible is not to make you afraid, but the devil takes these words and puts fear in the believers. If you are getting afraid reading those words, you are not reading the Bible by the Spirit of the Lord. Do you understand that? The Bible is not to make you afraid, people of God. It's to give you revelation. It's to give you the understanding of the reality of the times that are coming. And it's not to tell you that you will die tomorrow. No, the Bible does not say that. Demons say that. Using the Bible, it's not to tell you, oh, you know what? You will die tomorrow. Oh, you know what? You will not be able to survive when the mark of the beast comes. No, you shall survive, and even you shall rise if you believe it when the mark of the beast comes, when the revealing of the Antichrist comes. I have heard believers, most of them are so afraid that they have believed, no, brother Marco, the Antichrist will not come, before that we will be taken up. I said, that is completely wrong, because the book of 2 Thessalonians, Thessalonians says, and even Matthew chapter number 24 says, that time of we gathering together to the Lord will not come until and unless the son of perdition is revealed. Hallelujah. So those times are coming, but believers should not be afraid, I am telling you. Because through this message, through the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, the loopholes in the dragon system, in the beast system, is exposed. And if you are able to take advantage of the loophole, if you have an understanding of what are the loopholes, weaknesses in Satan's kingdom, you shall rise even when things get difficult in the world. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? When did Joseph rise? Joseph did not rise during comfortable time, convenient time, where times when there was food and everything was good. Joseph rose when there was a famine. The nations came to Joseph when there was a famine. Do we understand that? The Bible says Isaac sowed in famine. In famine, we don't even think about giving anything or sowing anything. But Isaac sowed in famine. And in famine, he rose. He became prosperous. The children of God, when the world falls, the children of righteousness rise during the fall of the world. Do we understand that? We have to understand that. We have to understand that. And when the world is enjoying and saying everything is good and everything is fine, we are rising. That is the time the children of God are in the secret place seeking the Lord. But the right time for them to rise is when the world is suffering a famine. Hallelujah. So I want to assure you, because I come to you by the Spirit of the Lord and the revelation of the Lord. This is what the Lord had started to reveal to me from 2022. That tell my children, not to be afraid of the mark of the beast. But instead, equip the children of God to align to another system. Because the system of Satan has loopholes. All right. That is the heart of the message. Let's go to the message I already took. So Nebuchadnezzar saw a great image, the Bible says in Daniel chapter number 2. He saw a great image. The head was of gold, the chest and arms were of silver, then the belly and thighs were of bronze, and the legs and the feet and the toes were of iron and partly of ceramic clay. All right, do all of us know about that scripture there in Daniel chapter number 2? So I have already covered the head of gold, the chest and arms of silver. I am on the belly and thighs of bronze. Now, just to give a recap for those who were not there. Now, this idol is a revelation of Satan's kingdom. The gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron, and the clay are the components of Satan's kingdom. Are the components of Satan's kingdom. The head is of gold, meaning Satan's kingdoms, the brain of Satan's kingdom is Babylon. The gold head signifies Babylon. So the head, the brain, you know what the brain does to our body? It sends commands so that the legs will walk, so that the fingers will function, so that everything will happen in the body. We will feel hungry in our stomach. So the head, the brain, is the one who controls the whole body. So Babylon is the stronghold, is the brain of Satan's kingdom. Everything in Satan's kingdom is rooted to this Babylon. I already spoke about it last Friday. And to understand it, we went to Babel. The founder of Babel, Babylon, was Nimrod. He tried to build the tower and all those stuff. We will not go into that. But everything, the bronze, the legs of iron and everything, the Antichrist kingdom, the doctrine of it, the chemistry of it, the doctrine of it, the functionalities, the operation, everything is rooted into Babylon, into the practices of Babylon, into the doctrine of Babylon. That is the head of gold. It regulates the strategy and the progress of the whole satanic system, Babylon. Okay, the chest and arms of silver. Psalms chapter number 12 verse 6 says that the word of God is like silver refined seven times. So whenever the Bible refers to silver, it refers to the refined word of God. The word of God is not compared to gold, it's compared to silver. So the chest and arms signifies the Medo-Persian Empire. Who were the king of Persia? Who were the kings of Persia in the Bible? Darius and Cyrus. Remember, Cyrus was the one God said, "You are my anointed one. Through you, I will break the gates of bronze and the bars of iron. I will use you to free my people of Israel." So silver, the chest and the arms signify that though Satan has built this kingdom, but yet God has complete control over this kingdom. And whenever God wants to perform his will on the face of the earth, he can bring manipulation in Satan's kingdom and bring about his will even through Satan's kingdom. Hallelujah. So God can even use Satan and the complex kingdom of Satan to do his will on the face of the earth, to rescue his children, to bring his children out of captivity. That is what he did through the Medo-Persian Empire. That is what he did through Darius and through King Cyrus. They were the silver kingdom. All right? Hallelujah. Amen. And then comes the belly and the thighs of bronze. And I told you that we were on the belly and the thighs of bronze. What is the belly? The belly is the storehouse of food. All right? The belly and even the thighs, the digestive organs and the organs that make the food digest and bring it out of our bodily system are the belly and the thigh area of the body. So the belly and the thighs, that area of the body, is the storehouse of food and the place where the food gives energy to the whole system. That signifies the doctrine of Satan's kingdom. Okay? The belly and the thighs, which are of bronze, what does it signify? It signifies the doctrine of Satan's kingdom. I already went last meeting to show you that the bronze kingdom signifies the kingdom of Greece. And the philosophy of Greece, the doctrine of the Greek kingdom, is the doctrine of Satan's kingdom. Are we together? So the first characteristic of the Greek kingdom and philosophy we saw from Acts 17, verse number 14 to 34, where Apostle Paul was in Athens and he was compelled by the Spirit to give them the gospel because he saw so many idols. Many of the idols, these guys did not even know that they were worshipping. Many of the idols, the people did not even know that there were many gods in Athens. And they were like sitting there in the open square, searching to explore some new god, some new deity every day. In Acts chapter number 17. Let's start off tonight. Let's go there where I ended in Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter number 17. And verse number, Acts 17. Verse number 14. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained here. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens and received a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, and they departed. All right. Now while Paul waited for them, verse 16, Acts 17, verse 16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw the city was given over to idols. Therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshippers and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him and some said, "What does this blabber want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods." because he preached to them Jesus and his resurrection. And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. Verse 21. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. That is the doctrine of Satan's kingdom. To make many gods. Everything that you see is a god. Remember when Eve came, the serpent came to Eve. What did he tell Eve? You will become like God. So he also wanted to make Eve a God. So the doctrine of Satan's kingdom is rooted in making many gods. I have taken this sermon earlier, the serpent's doctrine from Genesis chapter number 3. And his doctrine can be seen in the three things that the serpent said. And that is the Greek philosophy. That is the doctrine of Satan's kingdom. Do we understand that? What is happening currently in India is whatever festivals are coming in India, you know, they are Christianizing those festivals. They are Christianizing. So Christians, what they are doing, they are celebrating every pagan festivals that they... Now, there is a singer, a very, 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 very profound and established gospel worshiper. He was a worshiper. Now, I don't consider him a worshipper. So what he did was a song that is sung to a Hindu deity. He is singing that song on the Christian platform in the church that is sung to a Hindu deity. And he is saying the lyrics of the song, I can sing it to Jesus. So I take that song and sing it to another deity. So mixing up things, confusing people is what the serpent's doctrine is. All right, let me take you a bit to understand the Greek philosophy, because the Bible says those people sit there doing nothing, doing no work in Athens. Athens comes in Greece. They do nothing, but they sit there and they are looking for some new doctrine. They are looking for some new God. They are looking to explore some new religion. That is the New Age movement, where the Christian church is now accepting yoga as one of their practices, where the Christian church is accepting all the things of the world as the practices, as the religion to be followed in the church, right inside the church. That is accepting everything. That is where the serpent's doctrine, the serpent voice leads to. All right, let's go a bit in Genesis chapter number 3. Let's go a bit in Genesis chapter number 3, and let me quickly cover that. The serpent's doctrine, the root of serpent's doctrine is in the words that the serpent said to the woman, to Eve. It's in Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 4. Verse number 4, let us skip all those earlier verses. Let's come to verse number 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. Number one, what will happen? Your eyes will be opened. Number one. Number two is you will be like God. You will be another God. Number two. And the third thing is you will know good and evil. These are the three roots of the doctrine of the serpent. And that is the belly of Satan's kingdom. This doctrine is the belly of Satan's kingdom. Number one, your eyes will be opened. This is known by many names, but that is mostly known as something called as Kundalini spirit. That emerged from India, and that is followed and practiced by many people, by multitudes throughout the world. What Kundalini teaches is there is a serpent inside of you, or there is an eye inside of you. There is a power inside of you that you need to unlock. When you unlock that power, you will start to become a supernatural being. That is the Kundalini doctrine. Your eyes will be opened. You understand that? There is a prophet from America. His name is Passion Java. What he teaches is third eye. Open your third eye. And the things that he teaches is you need to go in a trance. You need to shut off yourself in a room. And then he calls that as a fast and pray. But all the occultic things, why? He says you need to have your eye open. They want to provoke the serpent inside of you. They say there is a serpent. Yoga provokes that. So all these things, that is where it is coming from the serpent's doctrine. The Greek philosophy that makes human beings God. Do you understand that? That says there is a God inside of you. Have you heard American preachers, not only American preachers, even preachers from Africa, even preachers from India, telling you that you are another God? Don't believe that. You are not a God. Okay? Telling you that you can be in sin, but there is something inside of you. There is power inside of you. There is an eye inside of you that needs to open up. All these things are Satan's doctrine because he wants to regard men as God. He wants to tell you that you are the God of your own life. You can do whatever you want. All right? Your eyes will open and then he says you will become like God. He's in the business of making many gods. And then he says, knowing good and evil. That is the basic principles of the world that Apostle Paul talks about in Colossians. You can make the laws. You can decide what is good and evil. That is where nowadays what is evil that they call good and what is good they call evil. If you go about preaching the gospel, the pure word of the Lord, if you teach the pure word of the Lord, they will call you evil. They will call you legalist. They will call you by many names because they call good evil and evil good. Any which ways, that is the serpent's doctrine, Greek philosophy. What they did is they sat there and they explored new religions and new gods. So today, Paul has come. So let's accept Paul. Let's hear about this Jesus. But thank God, by the ministering of Paul, two people in that city of Athens got saved. In the book of Acts, chapter number 17. What about the other people? Yeah, it's a good Jesus. And they took that Jesus and put them in among their many gods. You see that? That happens in India. Most of the Christians that come in the mega church, they say they believe in Jesus. But you will see when you go to their house, there is a picture of Jesus which is kept among their many gods. That is so Satan does not have a problem with such kind of converts. Satan has no problem, dear friends, with such kinds of converts who believe that Jesus is among one of their gods. But Satan has problem with those people who believe that Jesus is the only true God, the way, the truth, and the life. No one can go to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Satan has a problem with those who believe that and who proclaim the truth. If you start to believe that and proclaim the truth and live a life accordingly, Satan has a problem with you. And Satan, if you are a pastor who is preaching the true gospel and wanting to make disciples and not half converts, Satan has a problem with your ministry. He will not stop that mega church pastor because he is not making disciples of people. He is just doing some miracles and giving some prophecy and this and that so that more people can come to the church. But he never tells those people that Jesus is the only true God. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So come back to
Hallelujah.
Acts chapter number 17.
Yeah.
Come back to Acts chapter number 17. Thank you, Lord. So that is the first characteristic of the Greek kingdom, that they have many gods. They are ready to explore more gods and more religions. That is which signifies the doctrine of Satan. And I just want to tell you Acts 17 verse 34. After Paul preached to them and all those things happened, it says Acts 17, 34. However, some men joined him and believed. Among them was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. So some people believed. These two people main were Dionysius and Damaris. Both these names are Greek god names. but they put their faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So there are people in the prison of religion, in the prison of Satan's doctrine, who even have names and their identity manipulated after their own gods. God wants to rescue them. God wants to rescue them. That will only happen when we preach the undiluted word of Jesus Christ, when we preach and teach the undiluted gospel. Hallelujah. Okay, any which ways. That is the first characteristic of Greek philosophy, that they have many gods. Okay, and that is the doctrine of Satan. The second characteristic is can be found in Acts chapter number 14, verse number 5 to 18. Acts chapter number 14, verse number 5 to 18. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. And they were preaching the gospel there. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Laodicean language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." This is the Greek mentality. They see any person performing a healing. Apostle Paul performed, Apostle Paul, through the power of God, of the Holy Spirit, his healing gift, healed a man who was a cripple. And when they saw it, what did they say? "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And Barnabas they called Zeus. Zeus is a Greek god name. Okay, let's not go into all those things, but he is a Greek god. And Paul, Hermas, because he was the chief speaker. So in Greece, there are many gods. One god is the god of lightning. One god is the god of preaching. One god is the god of sun, god of fertility. And everything is rooted in the Babylonian doctrine. So when they saw Paul and Barnabas heal that person, they said, "This is our god Zeus. This is our god Hermes." And they started to worship them, worship Paul and Barnabas. Okay? Verse number 13. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and they ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and all things that are in them, who is bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them. So the people of Greek mythology, or with that Greek doctrine, whenever they saw a miracle, a supernatural thing happening by men, they regarded those men as gods. That is the second doctrine of Satan's kingdom, that Satan gives power to men to make them gods to men. And sacrifices should go to men. Remember in the book of Daniel and in the book of Matthew chapter number 24, when the son of perdition comes, when the Antichrist comes, what he will do? He will take the daily sacrifices away from the temple and place there an abomination of desolation. What is the meaning of that? What is the abomination of desolation? Abomination of desolation is the throne of Antichrist. So Antichrist will sit on that throne to receive sacrifices. and the daily sacrifices and offerings that goes to the Most High God, he will cut off. That is what is the doctrine of Satan's kingdom. He wants to take the worship that goes to God and give it to himself through men. Do you know when you are worshiping an idol, you are worshiping an idol, but where the worship is going? It is going to Satan. Do you know when you bow down to a man and sacrifice to a man, where the worship and the sacrifice is going? It's not going to the man, it's going to Satan. Because Satan ordains men with his doctrine, with his power, to take the worship and to take the sacrifices. So when people give sacrifices and worship to them, it goes to Satan. Do we understand that? Because that is the spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist is the spirit of Lucifer. What did he want to do in heaven? He wanted to take the place of God, make his throne above the stars of God, right? He wanted to do that, but he could not do that in heaven. He was thrown down on earth. So his intention is to take the place in the temple of Jerusalem. When the third temple will be built, it will not be built for Jehovah God. It will be built for Antichrist, because that is what he wants to satisfy his ego by making him God, himself God, Lucifer. That is what he wants to do. Do we understand the second characteristic of Satan's kingdom? He wants to cut the worship from God. His doctrine takes the worship away from God and gives it to men. That is the second characteristic of his doctrine. Matthew chapter number 24. Jesus said there will be great deception. Many will come in my name saying that they are Christ, but stay away from them. Not literally they are Christ, but they will make a God themselves as a God to you. Many pastors are not ordained by God. Do you know that? They are ordained by Satan because they take the worship from people. I was looking at a video and the pastor comes in the church. When he goes on the stage, there is a big choir team on the stage with all the nice and shiny dresses. A large choir team, maybe more than hundreds of people on the stage, and the stage is huge. But when the pastor steps on the stage, all the people bow down to the pastor when he comes on the stage. What is he doing? He is not a servant of Jesus Christ. He's a servant of Satan. He's making himself as a God to people. When we speak to those people and tell those people, what are you doing? This is not in the Bible. They say, no, it's the culture of Nigeria. It's the culture of Africa. Can your culture surpass the word of God? If your culture is violating the word of God and making congregation bow down to a pastor, to a man, then that culture is demonic and you need to change the ways of that culture.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Are people here in this place? Through
Hallelujah.
In the name of culture, there are many cultural traditions in India, many cultural traditions in Sri Lanka. This man I saw, he's a pastor from Sri Lanka. Cultural traditions in Africa. And if you see the roots of those cultural traditions you follow, it is found in the demonic. No, it's a sign of respect. You can respect by shaking hands. You can respect by appreciating a person through your words, but not bowing down. Not bowing down to a person. Do we understand that? That is the second characteristic of Satan's doctrine, of the Greek philosophy. It exalts a man so much that the man is considered as God. It exalts a man so much that the man is now started to be considered as a God. That is you will see that mindset in this scripture of the people from the Greece. They started to give names to Paul. Yes. So that is the belly. That is the belly. That is the doctrine on which this system functions. Do we understand that? That is the doctrine that will be propagated in our times, even in the church, even in Christianity. That is the doctrine which will be propagated in our times, so that even Christians are deceived and get into the system of Satan, and they are prepared for that iron kingdom. For the iron kingdom. So the belly and thighs of bronze. And then we also saw Isaiah 45, it says, break the gates of bronze and the bars of iron. Gates of bronze signifying that the bronze kingdom are gates. What are gates? I told you. I took a whole series on gates. Gates are altars, spirituality, doctrine, priesthood. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We have the weapon of the word of God, of the gospel, to expose and break these gates of bronze. That is the doctrine of Satan's kingdom. Not only outside the church, but also inside the church, because the doctrine of the serpent has penetrated inside the church. And what is the doctrine of Satan? The Greek mythology, the Greek philosophy is the bronze, the doctrine of Satan. All right. Now let us go to the important part of the Bible, of this message. Let us go to the iron, the legs of iron and the feet partly of iron and partly of clay. Daniel chapter number 2, verse number 40 to 43. Give your ear to me, because this is going to be very important. The iron kingdom. Daniel chapter number 2, verse number 40 to 43. Daniel chapter number 2, verse number 40 to 43. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all others. Okay? This last kingdom is the beast kingdom. And this, we are living in the iron kingdom. In the rule of the iron kingdom. Okay? So what this kingdom will do is, we will come to that when we go to the revelation. What does iron means? What is the revelation of iron? When we go there, I will tell you. Verse number 41. Whereas you saw the feet and toes partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. So the legs are of iron, but the feet is a mixture of iron and the potter's clay. So everything has a meaning. We will come to the meaning of it. Verse number 42, and as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with the clay. Stop there. All right. Now, to understand this kingdom, let's also go to Daniel chapter number 7. This four kingdom that God showed Daniel. Okay. The more detailed interpretation of it, God again gave Daniel in Daniel chapter number 7. This is how God speaks. If God will speak to you about a certain mystery today, you will get some 20% information. But while you meditate on that mystery and on that information, maybe after another 3 weeks, you will again get some dream or revelation from God, which will be an extension of the mystery of the information you received 2 weeks back. This is how God starts to build revelation. This is how God starts to reveal mystery to you. Do we understand that? Okay. Stay with me. So the extension and the detail of those mystery, God again gave Daniel a vision, and again he saw the details of the same things that he saw, that he got in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Okay? Daniel chapter number 7. Hallelujah. Daniel
Hallelujah.
Chapter number 7. This is verse number 2. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from others. The first one was like a lion and had eagle's wing. Do you know the lion with the eagle's wing is one of the symbols of Babylon? The head of the lion and the eagle's wing. I don't have pictures now to show you. But the idol of a lion having wings, have you seen that in ancient history? It is the symbol of the kingdom of Babylon. So what God is giving him details about these four kingdoms in again in Daniel chapter number 7. I don't have time to go into those things, but let's go to the fourth kingdom, which is in verse number 7. Okay, which kingdom? Iron and clay kingdom. Okay, after this, I saw in the night, I'm going to read the whole chapter. Listen to this, because I want to show you the fourth kingdom in the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw is the beast kingdom, is the kingdom from where the Antichrist will come, is the kingdom in during which the stone will be cut off. Jesus Christ will demolish all these kingdoms, the beast kingdom, and take over everything. Daniel chapter number 7 verse 7. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the other beasts which were before it. And it had 10 horns. Who had 10 horns? The beast in Revelation 13 had 10 horns. Okay, I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. Stop there. When this horn was speaking pompous words, blasphemies against the kingdom of God, what happened? Thrones were set up. That was my previous sermon. The throne system versus the dragon system. So when the dragon system attacks God, God will answer and demolish the dragon system with his throne system. Thrones were set up. Why the thrones were set up? For the books to be opened, for judgment to be released. Okay. Then it says, verse number 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. The same scripture you will find in Revelation chapter number 5. Okay. Revelation is an extension of Daniel book. The book of Daniel is very important in regards to Revelation, in regards to the end times. Very important, because Daniel is a man who had revelations about the end times, living in his own age. Okay. Verse number 11. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain, and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. So what is the iron kingdom? It's the beast system. It's the end time beast dragon system. So that will be slain and given to the burning flame. As for rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. That is the 1,000-year reign mentioned in the book of Revelation. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one man like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven, he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Hallelujah. Let's skip verse 15, 16, 17. Come to verse number 19. Then I wished to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured, broke in pieces, and trampled the residue with its feet. Teeth of iron and the nails of bronze. So with the doctrine and with the iron authority, what he was doing, he was demolishing everything. What does it mean? It means that this iron kingdom, the beast kingdom, is going to demolish all the laws, rules, regulations of other nations and destroy all the laws, regulations, rules, ordinances, and legislation of other nations and bring all the nations under himself, forming the one world government and forming the one world religion. That is the meaning of the iron kingdom destroying everything into pieces. Okay? Do we understand that? That is where the iron kingdom will bring the one world government and the one world religion. That is why you're the Pope of the Catholic Church. Now, I have already talked about the Catholic Church a lot. That is the iron kingdom. That is the harlot sitting on the beast. The top department is the Catholic Church. That's why you hear the Pope saying all religions will lead to the same God. And then he is coming together with all the religious leaders and the government leaders. Where we are heading towards? We are heading to the formation of the one world government. That is what the Iron Kingdom will do. Stay with me. Why I am teaching you this? Because I want you to explore the loopholes in this Iron Kingdom. Stay with me. All right, so it says this iron and with the nails of bronze, which is the doctrine. The doctrine is the utterance of this beast, is the utterance of the iron kingdom that is coming from there. Okay, that is the doctrine of the iron kingdom. The bronze is the doctrine and the iron is the authority. Stay with me. Which devote broke in pieces and trampled the residue, destroyed all other legislations, government rules, laws and everything. And then the 10 horns that were on its head and the other horn which came up before which 3 fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them, until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Even though you will see some persecution, but judgment shall be made in your favor, because you are the saints of the Most High. And then what will happen? The saints of God will possess the kingdoms of the earth. That is the inheritance of the glory of Christ, which we will have in him. That the kingdoms Amen. Shall be given to Amen. Us. Hallelujah. Before those things happen, God is preparing a remnant to be matured enough to handle that position. To handle that position. Are we understanding? That is why God is speaking to you about this word. Because he wants to make you matured enough, understanding enough to handle the position for eternity that is going to come to you. Ephesians chapter number 2 talks about that. Apostle Paul says that may your eyes of understanding be opened so that you may realize what is the inheritance of his glory for the saints in Christ Jesus. If you know the inheritance that is supposed to come to you, you will forget about the inheritance that you are receiving from your ancestors. You will forget about it. That is how great that inheritance is. All right, verse number 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom. I told you in the last sermon in the secret societies, the 10 horns, the 10 kings are the members of secret societies. Any which ways, I have already covered that there, okay? And another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and laws. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and time and a half a time. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hallelujah. So this is the Hallelujah. Revelation that the beast will arise. One of the horns will arise from where the 3 horns are plucked, and they will make war against God, against the saints of God. They will speak blasphemies. they will, the Antichrist will change the laws, because he is going to demolish all the laws that the Constitution of India has made, the Constitution of America has made, the Constitution of Canada has made, laws of democracy, of democratic nation. He is going to demolish, change the laws, change the times. We are living in that age, beloved, where they are programming our minds. Do you know that? They are programming our mind to accept the new laws, to accept the new change of the laws and all those stuff. Many bills are in process to be passed, because this is the Iron Kingdom, believers, you and me are living in. We have to realize that. But the Bible says that that beast will be judged and thrown in the lake of fire, and the kingdom shall be of Jesus Christ and his saints forever and ever. That is our hope. That is the truth.
Hallelujah.
You have to keep in your heart. Hallelujah. Okay. Now let's come to the revelation of the Iron Kingdom. What does the perspective of the legs and the feet of iron and clay mean? Let's come to the understanding of it. What does iron mean? Write it down. Iron means forceful submission, absolute authority, and demolition of systems. Iron means what? Forceful submission. Stay with me, okay? And demolish an absolute authority through demolition of systems. So the kingdom of iron signifies there will be a, they will use a forceful submission. Why? To demolish other systems and to establish absolute authority over the face of the earth. But do you know that is not possible for the Iron Kingdom because there is clay in it? Okay. Can you imagine something? I want to tell you, take a piece of iron. Let's say, you know iron, right? How it is. I don't have iron here. Let's say this is the piece of iron. Very rigid, very rugged, very, very rigid and very hard. And take some potter's clay, okay, the Bible says potter's clay, and try to mix it with the iron and put it together. Will it mix, people of God? Yes or no?
No.
Yes.
Okay, no, it will never mix. Try to mix how much ever you want to mix it. It will never mix with the iron. Now, consider this is the idol. I don't have an idol here. The Nebuchadnezzar idol. The legs are of iron. But the feet here below, that feet and the toes of the feet are of iron and clay. Stay with me. Now, that's why the Bible says it will have the strength of iron, but it will be partly fragile. That means the beast kingdom will use forceful submission. Remember the mark of the beast? To be introduced, they will use forceful submission. You have to take. But how much ever they try, there will be clay in it, because that means they will use forceful submission to establish absolute authority over everyone, but they will not be able to establish absolute authority over everyone.
Amen.
Even though they use forceful submission. Stay with me. What is real forceful submission? Real forceful submission only lies with Jesus Christ. Stay with me. Not for you. You know that, how many of you know that the devil is so rebellious and stubborn? If Jesus Christ will tell, oh, devil, bow down before me. Do you think the devil will bow down before Jesus? No, he will never. So for the Lord Jesus to make every knee bow down before him, he will use the real rod of iron with which he is coming. That rod of iron is the symbol of absolute authority, not the Iron Kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Okay, people of God, are you there with me? That's why I told you to be careful what I'm speaking. To be carefully listen to me. Carefully listen to me. Okay? The Iron Kingdom that Nebuchadnezzar saw was... the feet was partly of clay and iron, meaning there will be forceful submission they will use to try and establish absolute authority, but there is clay, because of which absolute authority will not be established. But the person who will be able to establish absolute authority is Jesus Christ, because he has the real rod of iron. Come with me to Revelation chapter number 2, verse 27. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Revelation chapter number 2, verse 27. Revelation chapter number 2, verse 27. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel. I also received from my Father. Hallelujah. This is Jesus talking to the church. And he is saying those people who will overcome in verse 26. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And they shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the rod of iron, the rod of absolute authority. Another scripture, Revelation 19, verse 15. Revelation 19, verse number 15. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. Hallelujah. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. Everyone say, Jesus will rule the nations with a rod of iron. Everyone say that Jesus will rule the nations with a rod of iron. Hallelujah.
Iron.
What does the rod of iron signify? Forceful submission. That's why the Bible says every knee that is in heaven, on the earth and under the earth shall bow to the name of Jesus. And many of them don't want to bow, but he will use the rod. The forceful submission, and make them submit to the feet of Jesus Christ when the time comes. Hallelujah. And bring absolute authority. All dominions, all authorities, all kingdoms, the beast system, the idol that Nebuchadnezzar saw will be demolished by this stone that is cut without hands. That is Jesus Christ. He has the rod of iron.
Hallelujah.
And you know, the thing is, to be amazed is that he also will give the rod of iron to some people in the church. That is what is written in Revelation chapter number 2. If you overcome, he says, I will give you that rod of iron with which you shall rule the nations of the earth by my authority. Hallelujah. Amen. So while you have to realize, dear believers, while Satan is working through his beast system to bring his dominion, Jesus is here. The clay is there. The clay is there which will resist the iron kingdom and not let don't have this iron kingdom to have absolute authority. Okay. What does potter's clay signify? I mean, open the scriptures and then it will be clear to you. I don't even have to explain to you. What does potter's clay signify? Isaiah chapter number 64, verse number 8. Isaiah chapter number 64, verse number 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. You are our Father. We are the clay and you are our potter. And all we are the work of your hands. Okay, potter's clay. Potter's clay signify that it's in God's hand or it's under God's authority. Another scripture to you. Jeremiah chapter number 18. Jeremiah chapter number 18. And verse number 2 to 6, Jeremiah 18, verse number 2 to 6. Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I Can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. So potter's clay signifies that God's control is over this satanic kingdom. God's intervention is in this satanic kingdom. And the reason, listen to me, the iron kingdom would use forceful submission, but would not have absolute authority. I told you this. Then God's authority and his people will have conflict with the iron kingdom, and do not let them have total control in all territories. That is why the feet and the toes were of iron and clay. What was where the clay was? The clay was not in the legs, in the calves. The clay was where? In the feet. What does the feet signify? The feet signify, the soles of the feet signify that stepping into the territory through the power of priesthood, entities conquer the territories. I taught you this, right? Walking as a priest, stepping into territories and conquering territories. So the feet signify conquering territories by the power of priesthood. The feet of the idol signify that they will not have authority over all the territories because there is clay in it. The way the beast kingdom will be able to establish absolute authority is by what? Is by conquering all the nations and every territory in every nation. But that will not happen because in the feet, along with iron, there is clay. So it will not come together. Spiritually, the way a spirit entity conquers a territory is by stepping into the territory. That is how they do it. Do we understand that? Okay, let me give you some scriptures. I have already taken this sermon, okay? If you remember, I took the sermon about the children of Lamech in the Bible, the demonic children, Jabal, Jubal. One of them, Jabal, was a walker. He used to walk around. What was Satan doing in the book of Job? God said, where did you come from? He said, I came from going back and forth on the face of the earth. What does Satan do? Satan walks on territories to claim territories. Okay. What did God told Joshua in Joshua chapter number 1 verse 3? Joshua, wherever the sole of your foot treads upon, that territory I will give to you. What happened in the book of Joshua when they were crossing the Jordan? What did God tell them? Let the priest step into the river of Jordan first. When the priest step into the river of Jordan, the flow of Jordan will be stopped. And then my children will be able to cross over on dry land into the land of Canaan. So the priest, the feet of the priest, when it falls on territories, the territories are claimed by that entity they serve. I don't have time to show you. I have already a sermon on that. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? What does Bible say in Isaiah 52 verse 7? How beautiful is the preaching of those who come from the mountain. No. It says how beautiful are what? Are the feet of those who come with the good news, who come with good tidings. Because the feet of the priest claim territories. Hallelujah. So the biggest problem with Satan's kingdom is there is problem with the feet, Satan. The head is of gold, the chest is of silver, the belly and thighs of bronze, wonderful. The legs are iron, but your feet has problems. That means you cannot conquer all territories. Hallelujah. You can. Are you understanding the meaning of it? That is why the feet was iron and clay mixed. The feet was iron and clay mixed because all territories will not come under Antichrist. Because there will be a woman who will flee to the wilderness in the book of Revelation, who will be away from the presence of the Antichrist. And there God will feed her. People of God, we need to have the eyes to see into the reality of the scripture. We need to have the understanding of the times that are coming. Hallelujah. And if you, that is the loophole of Satan's kingdom. Do not be afraid saying the 666 will come. I will not be able to eat. I will not be able to buy cake. I will not be able to buy sweets. You will buy cake. You will buy sweets. You will buy chicken. You will buy meat. You will buy whatever you like in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And you shall survive.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because Satan will not be able to conquer all territories. Yes.
Amen.
You know, I did not take the vaccine that came for COVID-19. And they had made a rule. That is a representation of what will happen. That whoever does not have the vaccine cannot go to the grocery shop, cannot enter the mall, cannot enter the cloth store. But there were people who were not abiding to that rule. So we took from them, we bought from them. So we don't have to be afraid of such things. But what you have to do is not submit to the forceful submission that is coming from them, because you have to understand that their forceful submission will not establish absolute authority. Instead, be faithful to your King Jesus Christ, because he is coming on a white horse with a rod of iron in his hand to rule the nations of the earth, to have absolute authority. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. He's coming with a rod of iron. He's coming with a rod of iron. So the feat, let me come again. The feat signifies conquering territories by the power of priesthood. Okay. The feet of the idols signify that they will not have authority over all territories, because there is a mixture of iron and clay. Now let me read you back Daniel chapter number 2, and you will understand the scriptures now. You will understand the scriptures now, okay? Let me now read you back Daniel chapter number 2. What does it say in verse 41? Whereas you saw the feet and toes partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. You understand now that? Shall be divided. Yet the strength of iron, that is forceful submission, shall be used in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. That is the loophole in the beast system. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. Then it says, and in the day of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. To talk about this kingdom, let me go to next week. And we will talk about the stone which was cut from the mountain. Okay? We will talk about the stone which was cut from the mountain. We will also talk about the confusion that is there in the Iron Kingdom. Because the Bible also says, what? They will mingle with the seed of men but will not adhere to one another. There will be a lot of conflict in the Iron Kingdom. Someone will say this, someone will say that. And the purpose, that is how Babylon shall fall. The harlot will fall. That is how it will happen. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even as the year ends, God wants to make you happy in the spirit. God wants to give you revelation. God is encouraging you, telling you that you need to sit in my presence and you will find an upper hand over the enemy. You will find authority to trample the snakes and the scorpions under your foot. God does not want you to be stuck in a problem and cry. God has given a revelation, a solution. You need to find it out, beloved. You need to find it out. That revelation, that solution, you need to find it out in your presence. Hallelujah. Apart from being in this meeting, hearing the teachings, seek God. Seek God. And every problem, God has given a revelation. And you need to seek God to explore the realities, the revelation, the hidden things. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you in the mighty name of Jesus that Satan's kingdom has been exposed in Jesus' mighty name. Even as the Bible says that on that cross, you nailed every handwriting contrary to us. And you stripped apart Satan, making him a public spectacle. That is what you have done, Jesus, with the enemy. You have stripped him apart, Lord. Exposing him means defeating him. Hallelujah. Exposing darkness means defeating darkness. Hallelujah. Whenever we expose darkness, I am telling you, people of God, There is conflict in your family. One day, even if God opens your eyes to see the demon who is causing it, when you see that demon, the demon will flee away. Because getting exposed for demonic forces is defeat. Getting exposed for demonic forces is defeat. Some people, I don't know, but if God has gifted you, and if you start to see dreams about strongholds, about your ancestor, what your ancestors did, about who is the witch, even if you see them in your dream, that means you have defeated them. Exposing is defeating. Hallelujah. And God will bring many things to exposure. Even right inside his house, he will bring many things to exposure. So to defeat demonic forces, defeat that Babylon that has got into the church, destroy and expose that Satan's doctrine, the Greek philosophy that has got into the church. God will bring many things to light in this coming year in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And God is commanding his faithful servants to seek him, to meditate on his word and to walk in his word. Do not compromise, people of God. Do not mix Christianity with paganism. Don't do any of those things, but stand strong in the word of the Lord, in the integrity of his word. Hallelujah. And do not bow down, because he will reserve those who have not bowed down to Baal. He will reserve those. He will keep them. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray even as the year ends, let your fire lit up every altar in this place. Let your fire light up set on fire every life on this place, Lord. Whatever dullness, dryness, Lord, doubts, confusion, Father, the enemy wants to put in the minds of your people will be rooted out now in Jesus' name. That they will enter this new year and continue in your fire in Jesus' name. That they will not live a sluggish life, Lord, and defeated life as they were in 2024. But this year, Lord, they will overcome in Jesus' name. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus, help us, Lord, including myself, because without you, I can do nothing. Without you, we can do nothing. Holy Spirit, we depend on you. We seek for your grace. We seek for your mercy, Lord.
Yes.
Lead us and guide us, Father. Open up, Lord, the assignments to our eyes, Lord, to our minds that we need to complete in 2025, Lord. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ and in the coming years. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah, people of God. Let's shout amen.